Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, second chapter of the book of Acts. While you're turning there, let me ask you a question. How many of you have heard the saying, absence makes the heart grow fonder? Have you ever heard that saying? There's living proof of that right here in our auditorium this morning. There's a brother and sister here. When he was home, they fought and fussed and fumed. But while they're here, man, now that he's been gone a while, he's back. Man, she's excited. She was looking for him when he came in the door, and she's waving him over. I can remember when she'd wave him away, you know. But it's good to have Jake Blanton with us today. Good to see you, Jake. Glad you're here, man. He's in the Navy, and he's home. Not home for a good reason. He's getting married. No, I was just kidding about that. No, he's getting married. When? 27th. That's next Sunday. Next Sunday, all right? He's getting married. So you might pray for him. Or her, yes. Yeah, pray for him. The her being... you're moving to San Diego, all right. Yeah, pray for the whole city. Yeah, they're going there. That's true. All right. Acts chapter 2. Look, if you will, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. I'm going to leave off reading there. I want you to go back and take a look at verse 1. Notice what it says. The Bible says, Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Pentecost was the Jewish feast of harvest. It was celebrated 50 days after the Passover. If you read in the Old Testament, it's also called the Feast of Weeks, the Feast of Harvest, and the Day of First Fruits. So it's referred to in many different ways. And it was on that day that the Jewish people would gather together and celebrate. To them, it was a very, very holy day, all right, special day in their life. And as usual, here in our scripture, they had gathered in Jerusalem for this celebration, just like they had many times before. But I want you to notice it was a little bit different this time, all right? This time, the Bible says they were confounded, they were amazed, they marveled, and then it even says they were in doubt. All of this was because they had never seen or heard anything like what they witnessed that day. It had just never happened before. By the way, it's never happened since. And it never will happen again. It was a one-time occurrence, all right? And they were all right, if you will, to wonder and ask that question we find at the end of verse 12. What meanest this? What meanest this. And I want to preach to you this morning on that question, what meaneth this, and try to answer it if I could. But first I want you to see this. I want you to see what it doesn't mean, okay? It doesn't mean you and I or anyone else is to pray, to speak in an unknown tongue. Doesn't mean that at all, okay? We're not to seek that. We're not to pray for that or ask that. It doesn't mean we're to seek to be slain in the spirit, to seek to jump a pew, or anything like that, all right? None of those things. Now, I'm not mocking or making fun. I'm just trying to preach to you and give you the truth of the Word of God, all right? Nowhere does God tell us to do those things that are often encouraged to people today to do, all right? But that's not scriptural. But what meaneth this? Number one, Jesus was gone, but God was still at work on this earth. He was departed. He had gone back to heaven, all right? That happened in chapter 1, all right? In chapter 1 of Acts, the Bible said they were gathered together, and they watched as he was taken up out of their sight, and two angels spoke to him and said, "Why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus is coming back." And the Lord, before he left, had already told them what to do. So the Lord was gone. Jesus Christ bodily was absent from this earth. He was no longer here. Now, I realize the crowd here that was at the day of Pentecost that saw and heard what they did, those that were questioning, they maybe had no idea that Jesus was gone and God was still at work. But I want you to know this, the people in that upper room did. The folks there that had gathered together in that upper room, the Bible said about 120 was their number. They knew what was going on. They knew their Savior had ascended back to heaven. But they realized, hey, the work of God's not done. It's not finished, all right? The work that God planned for this world wasn't over. It wasn't an end. And what the Lord was doing, he was letting the church know that he was saying to them, you're not out there on your own. You're not out there on your own. Boy, oftentimes it's easy to get that feeling. It's easy to think, and I'm the only one. It's easy to do like Elijah did when he said, I'm the only guy left, all right? It's easy to get that feeling. Hey, the task facing that church that day was great. Their task was very simple, to get the gospel to the world. Very simple. He said, that doesn't sound simple. I didn't say it'd be easy. But that was the task. It wasn't a complicated thing. You got to figure it out. No, we got to get the gospel to the world. But what he was saying to him, I just want you to know you're not alone in the doing of it. You're not by yourself. Look, sometimes we as believers, we as members of a local New Testament church, sometimes get the feeling there's nobody else. And we're by ourselves in this mission. No, you're not. No, you're not. Man, there have been times when I've been out by myself knocking doors and witnessing and talking to people. I'm talking years ago when I was just a young fella and out knocking doors trying to witness to people. And I thought, man, it's easy to get the idea I'm by myself. But it wasn't. I wasn't. And what mean is this? Well, the Lord wanted this church to know, look, you're not on your own. You're not by yourself. And can I say that to you and I today? We're not on our own today as Christians. We're not just cut loose and said, good luck. We're not just out there. You say, well, preacher, I know I can come to church. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Monday. We usually don't have church services on Monday. And when we do have them, most of you don't come. All right? We won't dwell there, but I thought I'd say it. All right? We have service on Wednesday, and a lot of you don't come, all right? But we don't have service on Tuesday normally, and Thursdays, and, you know, Friday. We don't have the service. Say, well, I'm all by myself. No, you're not. Because the Lord sent that day the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost upon all those believers. But the Bible tells us that that Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us the moment and the day you got saved. And He's in you. He's in you. You're not alone. You're not alone. You don't have to think, well, here I am, nobody's waiting. No, He's with you. He's with you. And the Lord wanted to let that church know, hey, you're not by yourself. You're not by yourself, all right? The second thing I believe what meaneth this is God's promise is true. God's promise is true. You see, the Lord had made a promise to the early church back in Acts chapter 1. Go over there, if you will, with me, all right? In Acts chapter 1, okay? And he'd made a promise to them. He'd told them to wait, all right? And he said, you wait, you tarry there at Jerusalem, and you wait, and if you'll do that, it's going to be all right. You don't depart. Verse 4, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Now, I want to tell you something. What meaneth this? Well, it means God's promise is true. God's promise is true. He told them to wait. He said, you'll receive power for the task that is left for you to do. I want you to take the gospel to the world, all over this world. But he said, I won't send you by yourself. There's going to be somebody to go for you. There's a promise from God, but they had to wait for it. They had to wait for it. I want to tell you, God's got a lot of promises in this old book. God's got a lot of promises, but it's easy for us as believers to doubt the promise of God. It is easy for us to doubt the promise of God. Hey, let's face it, many do. There may be many sitting here this morning that at some point or other in your life as a child of God, you got to the point where you really doubted the promise of God. You may be sitting here this morning doubting the promise of God. But I want to promise you this, and I just want to remind you of this fact, that every promise God has made in His book is true. Every one of them. Every promise that He made to Israel will be kept. He's going to keep His word. He's going to keep it. I've got this book in front of me, and I hope you've got it in front of you there. Every promise in that book that's been made, He's going to keep it, every one. Now, every promise in this book is not to you. It's not to you. There's some promises in this book that are to the nation of Israel and the nation of Israel alone, but He's going to keep those promises. Now, we've got preachers, so-called, across the world today that will tell you that God's through with Israel. And He's not, His promise is done. That's not true. That is a bald-faced lie. God's going to keep the promise He's made to Israel. He's going to keep those promises. But I'll tell you this, you're not a Jew. You're not Israel. Here you are, you're a Gentile, you're a child of God. I want you to know every promise He made to the Christian, you can take it to the bank. Amen. You can count on it. Every promise He's made, He's going to keep His promise. That crowd there that was the spectators on the day of Pentecost that saw and what happened and heard what happened, they asked, what meaneth this? Well, it meant God's keeping His promise. God's keeping His promise. But can I say this to you? Sometimes you have to wait for it. Sometimes you have to wait for it. I don't know about you, I'm not a good waiter. I don't like to wait. The other night, on Thursday night, we were out visiting, and we had managed to mess around so we didn't really get supper and before we went to go visiting. And so we were out, and after we made the last visit, we were at a place that had mentioned Griff's hamburgers. And I thought, man, that sounds pretty good. So we left there, and we went to Griff's right there. And we got in the drive-thru, and we waited, and we waited. And my wife suggested, and I was glad she did, because I wanted to, said, we're leaving. I'm not waiting here. We drove around the line. It was, man, it hadn't been moving. It was just sitting. So we went down the street to Whataburger. They had as long a line at Whataburger as they had there. My wife and I said, you know, if we'd have just left and went towards home, we could be sitting down somewhere now eating over there. And we drove from there to Whataburger over here on Ruth Snow. And I thought, my word, it's nearly 9 o'clock at night. What are all these people doing at Whataburger? But we didn't get in the drive-thru, we went in. We ordered. And we waited. And we waited. And we watched as they took out bags of food out the door. And they were handing them out through the drive-thru. And I thought, good grief. The only thing kept me there is they had my money. I don't like to wait. But you hear me. Sometimes God says you got to wait to get the promise. Get to wait. Don't you give up on God because you have to wait. What meaneth this? God's promise true. God's promise is true. So what meaneth this? God's power is tremendous. God's power is tremendous. We saw over there in Acts chapter 1 in verse 8, he said, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Power. That early church had been given the job of getting the gospel story out to the whole world. But man, were they ever hampered. They had no internal combustion engine. There were no airplanes to fly. There were no trains to take. There was no phone to use. God help them, there was no internet. I mean, you talk about deprived. Those people were deprived. So God said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the power to do the job you need to do. Hey, there were only 120 in that upper room. 120 people there. That would have been an absolutely impossible task, but for the power of God. But for the power of God. So it was on that day that God provided his people the power they needed to do the work they were called to do. God gave them that power. Can I say this to you? That same power is given to you and I as members of his church today. We have that same power. But wait a minute. We've got that internal combustion engine. Thank God we have air-conditioned vehicles. Hey, man, I'm glad of that. Hey, we've got buildings. They had no building in that day. Where they were meeting wasn't their building. We've got a building to meet in. We've got cushioned pews to sit in. We've got the benefit of a sound system. Peter's about to stand up and preach on the day of Pentecost. We know there were 3,000 there. He had no sound system. Hey, but we've got those things. Hey, we've got the internet. We've got telephones. We've got jet aircraft. So what he's saying, I'm saying this, we've got all the advantages, but I don't know that we're doing a very good job of getting the gospel to the world. Not doing a very good job of getting it out there. Hey, we're having trouble getting it out right here. Not around the world, but right here. Hey, it was not power. That power was given was not power to be wasted impressing somebody. Look at me, look at my ability. There was none of that. That power was not given to uplift the fame of anyone but the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, by the way, it's not power to build a personal empire. It's power to witness to people. It's power to witness to people. that when you talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ and about their soul, we know that the Holy Spirit is also talking. He empowers that. Hey, look, we're sorry vessels for the giving of the gospel. Were it not for the power of God, it would go nowhere. But God's given us that power to witness, the power, if you will, to personally preach to others so they also might be born again. You said God didn't call me to preach. He may not have called you to stand behind a pulpit and preach the gospel, but He did call you to preach individually to people. Hey, people where you work. People that are your neighbors. People that are in your family. People that come to your house. You want to get rid of pesky salespeople? When they come, invite them in and lock the door. And stand in front of it and say, "What do you want to tell me about?" And when they get through, you say, "All right, it's my turn. Let me talk to you about the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Hey, you hear me? God's given us the power to witness. You said, "I'm timid, I'm shy." No problem. He uses timid, shy people. You don't have to boldly stand on the street corner and shout at people passing by. I don't mind if you do that. But you don't have to do that. It can be just timidly reaching in your pocket and saying, "Hey, would you take a moment to read this when you can, please?" Just a simple thing like that. Simple thing like that. It's God empowers that beyond our ability, beyond our talent. That's what He's done. Hey, what meaneth this? God's power is absolutely tremendous. Lastly, what meaneth this? I believe this. God's message is for all men. All men. Look, if you will, there in Acts chapter 1. Look at verse 5. And it says, "There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven." Look at verse 6. It says, the last of that verse, "Every man heard them speak in his own language." Verse 7, it says, "They were all amazed." All amazed. Verse 8, "And how hear we every other man?" Boy, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, "How hear we every man?" He said, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying this. God's message is for all. For everybody. It's for every. It's not for a select few. It's not just for the elect. It's for everybody to hear the message of God. We're commanded to take the gospel and preach it to every creature. All right? It wasn't just those from Judah that were to get it. Did you listen while we saw, when we read verse 9, 10, and 11? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia. You said, "What are those places?" I don't know. They're over yonder. In Egypt. I know where that is. Libya, I know where that is. Rome, I know where that is. But it says Cretes and Arabians. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's for everybody. It's for everybody. I'm so glad that the good news of the grace of God and the salvation is not just for a select few. My luck is not such that I would have been one of that crew that was to get it. I'm just so glad God said it's for everybody and we're to preach it to everybody. We're to give it out. We're to give that gospel. Can I say this to you? I believe they laid down the pattern for us here. Notice it said every man heard in his own language. when we send missionaries to another country, it's expected they're going to learn that language. And they're going to preach to those people there in that language. Those that are in Brazil are going to preach in Portuguese. They're going to preach in Portuguese. Those that are in Germany are going to be preaching in German. All right? Those that are in England, they don't speak the same English we do. But it's going to be in English, all right? It's going to be in English. It's preaching to them. I mean, wherever it is, their language. Their language. And we expect, we've got missionaries, the Tarwaters were here at a mission conference. They're now in the Philippines. Now, his wife, she's from there. She knew the language. He's learning the language. He's learning the language. So what's the purpose of that? So they can hear in their own language. They can hear. You see, we believe in that. That's why we support scripture printing places that print the Word of God in other languages. Why? So everybody can hear. That's the pattern. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. Aren't you glad it was for you? Aren't you glad somebody told you? I'm glad there were some. I'm glad there were Sunday school teachers that were faithful to stand in front of this boy when he was a kid in a class in Sunday school, and times maybe didn't pay real good attention, but they were faithful to teach the Word of God. I heard the Word of God. I'm glad I got it at a young age. I'm glad I got saved when I was 9 years old. I'm glad I didn't take my life through the gutter. I'm glad God kept me out of that. But I want to say this to you. If your life was different, you didn't hear the gospel until later, aren't you glad somebody told you? Somebody gave you the truth of the Word of God. Somebody did it. Somebody said, doesn't matter if I'm timid. It doesn't matter if I'm shy. It doesn't matter if I haven't had 14 years of Bible college. That doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that I haven't memorized half of the New Testament. It's okay if I have to struggle to find the verse. But somebody cared enough to give you the gospel. Aren't you glad they did? I want to say this to you. Our Lord's still at work. Our Lord's still working today. He's not here, but he's still working. He's still working. Hey, he's still keeping his promise. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says we're laborers together with him. When you go and when you witness to people, you're never by yourself. He's there with you. He keeps those promises. We've got a part of the wonderful work of God. God's entrusted it to us. Our part in person is right here. Right here. Haltom City, Watauga, Hearst, Richland Hills, North Richland Hills, Saginaw, Fort Worth, Hearst, Euless, Bedford. All right? All around this area. Keller, Saginaw, Roanoke, Austin. I don't care how far we go, all right? I mean, it's everywhere. We've got this job, and we've got a part in person. We can go in this surrounding area. In purse, we can take it to the uttermost parts of the world. Powers available. Do you know what's lacking? Personnel. It's not the power. Hey, God's power is as good as it's ever been. God's power is good as it's ever been. Had the air conditioner repairman out this week. We've got an air conditioner in the Sunday school part of the building. When you turn it on, it'll run a while, and then it kicks the breaker. It doesn't mean the power is not there, but that breaker's a little too weak to handle it. It needs to be replaced. I got news for you. God's power is still there. It's still available. The thing that's missing is personnel. It's somebody to go. Said, God didn't call me, preacher, to be a missionary. I'm not talking about being a missionary. Well, God didn't call me to preach. I'm not talking about call to preach. I'm talking about that call to witness. Just a witness. Where you are, and the people you meet. The people God will bring across your path. Hey, the people you on purpose decide, we're going after them. We're going after them. Can I tell you this? The sign out front doesn't cause people to flock in. Open doors do not cause people to flock in. An air-conditioned building does not cause people to flock in. You know what gets them here? Somebody that says, hey, would you come to church with me Sunday? It's called a personal invitation. Personal invitation. I've been to a lot of things I would have never gone to, but somebody invited me. Some of them I'll never go back. But I went because somebody invited me. Somebody invited me. Hey, that's what's lacking. It's the manpower. It's people that'll do what God said we're to do. Hey, I'll invite people. I'll just stab. Well, I invited some and they said they'd come, but they didn't come. Invite them again. Invite them again. There's a Bible word, compel. Compel them to come in. Now, compelling is a little more than just a simple would you. It's pressure. It's pressure. Put the pressure on. You say, well, how am I going to do that? I'll tell you one way you can do it. You say, hey, if you come to church with me Sunday, I'll take you out to eat after church. Amen. Said, preacher, I can't afford. Hey, you know what? You can get a bag of burgers down, you can get a bag of burgers down here at Brahms for like $20, I think. Or the same thing up here right at OC's. When you said you'd take them out, that doesn't mean you're taking mistaken ale, okay? They said you'd take them out to eat. Man, who's too good to eat a hamburger for crying out loud, you know? Just compel them. Put a little pressure on. Put a little pressure on. Hey, power, still there. Promise, still true. Still true. God's still working. He still wants to save people. The message is still for everybody. Say, what's lacking? Somebody to tell it. Somebody to tell it. Hey, are you doing your part? Just simple question. Are you doing your part? I've said it before. You do not have to become the most outgoing individual in the world. I'm just telling you, let God use you. Your ability, your talent, your personality to do it. I've heard of people who were not all there getting people to come to church. I'll give you this illustration, I'm done. I had a fellow that used to come, was in our youth department. His name was Harold Chambers. He was in the youth department for years. He rode a bus, came to church, and he got in my Sunday school class. I was the youth director. I'd go visit him, and he had a younger brother. Younger brother, I think, was named Joe. I'm not positive, but I think his name was Joe. And I would invite him. He wouldn't come. He would not come. He just would not come. Couldn't get him to come. All of a sudden, he showed up. Honestly, to my shame, I'd quit asking. But he showed up. I don't think it was that day. It was a little bit later. Harold called me over. He said, you know why Joe came? He said, no. I said, no, I have any idea. He told me about a guy that lived in the area where they lived. He wasn't altogether right mentally. But he said, my brother was down there at the playground in our neighborhood, and this guy came up, began to talk to him, and told him, if you don't go to church, you don't get rid of it, you're going to hell, and talking about hell. Joe came to church. God can use a person that's mentally deficient. Surely he can use you.
Surely he can use you. Just invite people. Just invite them to come. Power's still there. Promise still true. God's still working. Still means for everybody. It just needs us to be involved. Would you stand, please? Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, just simple, simple message.